anymore, do you? Walk your dick away. And you're listening to Chastity Pod.
Welcome back to another episode of Chastity Pod. I'm your host tonight, Dumpling. And today we have one of my absolute favorite content creators of all time, Ricky Cage. Ricky, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm Ricky Cage. I guess I make porn. maybe you guys have heard of me. I don't know.
Let's pretend
I do some
that
chastity stuff.
All right, let's pretend that we've never heard of you before in our lives. Who are you, and how did you get started into chastity and porn?
Who am I? I'm just a random dude from Hawaii. When people think of Hawaii, they think of I don't know. I guess they think of Oahu and paradise and all that shit. But I'm on Big Island. There's nothing here. It's a small town. So that's me, and I just started. Basically, I was horny one day. I was like, you know what would make this even better? If I was recording myself, that would be fucked up and perverted, right? So, I guess that's how I started making videos.
Yeah, I first started seeing your content on Tumblr, and X2, rest in peace. That's where I first found out. I mean, before then, I don't think you were called Ricky Cage.
No.
But you had some of the most zany and wild, borderline comedic content. And for whatever reason, I also found it some of the hottest content I've ever seen as well. And since then, I've been obsessed. So for our listeners who don't know Ricky or haven't seen his content, you know, because Tumblr is dead and gone, here are some of the shenanigans you can expect from his videos. Ricky getting trapped in a forest and railed by 14 werewolves. Ricky as Indiana Jones being destroyed by a dildo. Ricky playing an elf of Santa's, caught and fucked open. Or one of my personal favorites, and many others as well, Ricky the telephone tech support agent, chatting with customers while his fuck machine is punching the piss out of him. And the one thing that connects all of these videos, Ricky has his dick locked up in chastity, and his holes are being used incredibly hard. Ricky, how did you get into making all this content?
Well, I deny all of those allegations, first of all. As far as the creativity goes, I have writing experience, fiction stuff, nonfiction. So yeah, I like coming up with crazy shit. I like seeing what's trending at the time and playing off of it. Like I even do political themed videos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so the werewolf thing, that's that's a satire of a TikTok video. Have you seen that video?
The original TikTok? No.
No, yeah. I'm completely unfamiliar with it.
What's super, super cute. I don't know his name, but there's a video on there. Super cute guy, and he's in a misty glade or something. There's a forest behind him, and he turns around, and he's like, oh no, I hope nothing comes out of those woods and comes fucks me. So that's what inspired that whole fucking video.
Nice.
How did you get involved in chastity play? When did you first encounter it? And when did you first start locking your dick up? What's your chastity story?
Okay. So that starts literally, this is going to sound weird, in third-ish grade.
Okay.
When I first... When I first started not even recognizing that I was getting horny, but recognizing that, oh, I want guys to tie me up. I want to be chained up in the Indiana Jones movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or Power Rangers. Those gray villains in Power Rangers, they would kidnap the Power Rangers and take them to their evil lair. I wanted to be kidnapped.
Oh.
So I like bondage. That's actually my main thing. But chastity is the ultimate form of bondage.
Uh-huh.
I think. So yeah, really early on, maybe 15 years old, back then, chastity wasn't really a thing.
Right.
Like modern chastity. I don't think even CB 3000 or whatever it was called was even out. So what I would do is
what year was this? Not to date yourself, but what's the rough time period?
Probably around 2003-ish or something.
2003.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
So like the CB
long time ago.
The CB 2000 and 3000 and 6000 did actually start coming out in like the late 1990s. So like you could, if you had the right access to the right fetish catalogs, you could buy one in like 1998. But
okay.
But you're right in the sense that like it was not really mainstream at all. Like the big explosion in chastity didn't really happen until like the mid 2010s.
So I do have a catalog story.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
So before I saw any of those devices, what I would do is I'm a cyclist. I've always ridden bikes. I had my bike lock, like windy bike lock, and my helmet. So what I would do is I would grab my helmet, like smack it on my dick, like over my dick and balls, and then I would chain the chain around myself and lock it. Gigantic.
Oh, hot. Like
helmets.
Like an chastity. Improvised
right.
Chastity device.
Right.
I love it.
Right. So we were really desperate back then in the 20s. but then one day I did see maybe a TLA catalog or something. The CB whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the horniest I've ever been. Like just seeing it, I was like, holy fuck, this actually exists and I can actually order it and I can actually lock my dick up.
And that was your first encounter actually seeing a chastity device. About like how old were you at the time, and when did you go from first seeing it to first actually getting a device and locking it on yourself or being locked in a device?
Yeah. So I think that was 15-ish with the bike helmet thing. 17.
Whoa.
I started ordering. I ordered my first cage and I ordered like butt toys. So I was sneaking it in. So.
Oh my gosh, 17.
Yeah.
How would you order it? I mean, where would you get the money? How did you hide that?
I didn't hide it well.
No.
No, man. One time I left, it was this butt plug called the Anaros. It probably still exists.
Oh,
I left
it
in the sink, in the bathroom sink.
No.
And then like hours later, my mom comes in with it. It's like, what is this?
No.
You're like, that's a medical health device massager.
Man.
It's a prostate health device.
I think she just.
Did she know what it was? An aneurysm?
I have no fucking idea. But she, that man, my family, me and my family are so weird and messed up. That is the least weird thing that ever happened to us. So she just like didn't even address it.
So. Oh.
So have you always been sort of self-locked, or have you had a key holder, or do you do long lockups? Do you just do it for like the scene and then like take it off a few hours later? What's your chastity routine?
Longest I've been locked is about 2 months.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I'm so active. I do gym, I do cycling, I do choreography for like really tough choreography for theater shows. It's tough to have a cage on the whole time. It just gets annoying.
Yeah.
So I do it off and on. I get into like seasons where I want to be locked up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And seasons where I'm not. I've had key holders. I've had a few. Some better than others. It's really hard to find a good key holder. Yeah.
It is.
Being a key holder is a full-time job, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Right now, I don't have one. What I do is I use a key lock, a timed key safe.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And that works really well.
What's the key safe that you use?
I think it's called the kitchen lock.
Oh, okay. Like that.
It's meant to keep you out of cookies. You put your cookies
yes!
and your candy in there.
I know the one. It's like the sort of like transparent like glass container, and you put the cookies in and you put the lock on top.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so funny.
It's funny because there's like a whole market of making these chastity official Chastity. This is for Chastity lockboxes. You can just get a $20 kitchen safe.
Well, here you go, listeners. Ricky giving us all the deets on how to get your own lockbox. I actually know that you wear many different cages, mostly because it's on your videos. You have different cages. You have a really cool belt, which is really freaking, really freaking amazing. Do you have a PA?
Oh, man. I want a PA. Mm-hmm. I'm scared to get a PA. And there's nowhere to get a PA. I would have to travel.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Come to New York. I want to meet you. We'll get our PAs together.
Oh, I'm tempted.
Ooh.
Lockfist, you have a PA, yeah?
I have a 00 gauge PA. So my advice for finding a piercer is to go to safepiercing.org, which is the Association of Professional Piercers. And they have a little find a piercer function where you can be like, here's my location, and they can say, hey, here's a piercer who's nearby who's like trained in how to do good body safe piercing. But you're right in that there is no one in Hawaii. So
dang,
really? You think, like, even on Oahu there's nobody there?
So like actually, let me check Honolulu. Because I just checked the Big Island, and there's nothing. Oh, there are two in Honolulu. Hey, there you go. There's Hikina Piercing Company and Honolulu Piercing Company at Skin Deep Tattoo, Waikiki. So they're both in one's in Honolulu and one's in, I'm gonna butcher this pronunciation, Kailua, Hawaii. Yeah. So there
do
you
either
go.
Of you have experience with nipple piercings?
I do not, but Lockfish sure does.
I've got 4-gauge nipple rings.
Bro! So I have really sensitive nipples, and I like it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about nipple piercings, but I don't want to fuck up my sensation. I don't know.
So, again, the key is to get, like, a good body piercer who knows what the fuck they're doing. And also, I had some sensitive nipples before I got them pierced. I continue to have sensitive nipples to this day. I love having my nips played with. For me, a mistake a lot of guys make is they get them pierced when their nipples are still, like, relatively small. Like, if you do, like, a lot of nipple play, you know, your nipples sort of get larger and thicker, but from, like, clamps and suction cups and all of that shit. So if they get them pierced a little bit too, when they're too small, there's not really the nipple bud you can pierce through. Like, a bad piercer will go, like, under, you know, deeper beneath the bud in the skin, right? So what you want is, if you've got nice thick nipples from having played with them a fair amount, then get a good piercer. Again, use safepiercing.org to find one. Explain that, hey, I'm really into nipple play. I'd like to get my nipples pierced. Get them to do the piercing. They'll do a good job of it. You'll probably get pierced at like 12 gauge or so. If you are like, hey, this is too thin, I want to, like, gauge them up in size. First, wait like 6 months or so for them to heal, and then go up just one gauge at a time. So usually pierce jewelry sold in 2-gauge increments. So, and it goes in reverse order from the larger the number, the smaller the jewelry. So, like, it goes 14 gauge, 12 gauge, 10 gauge, 8 gauge. The key is to get, like, just custom made little barbells that are, like, at 11 gauge and, like, 9 gauge and, you know, 7 gauge and go 12, 11, 10, 9, every 4 weeks, just going up one gauge. And that's how you can safely stretch your nipples up to having thick fucking rings through them.
Yeah. Thank you for the walkthrough.
My pleasure.
I bookmarked that site. I'm going to check it out.
Safepiercing.org. Yeah, good. Good. They're excellent. Highly recommend them. And yeah, just when you're talking with your piercer, just be absolutely explicit about, like, what you're doing and why you're doing it, so that they're professionals. They've seen fucking everything. So, like, if you're saying, if you want a Prince Albert for chastity play, be explicit saying, like, hey, I'm into getting a Prince Albert. I'm going to be using this for chastity play. I'm going to be using it, like, with cages. and they'll start you off at probably a thicker gauge than they would have started off someone who just wants it for decorative purposes. And for chassis play specifically, I'd recommend stretching up to at least 4 gauge, ideally 2 gauge, before using it for chassis play. And the reason you want a thicker gauge with the piercing is that the thinner the gauge, the thinner the wire, the more likely you'll have what's called the cheese cutter effect. You know, like cheese wire, when you're very yes. thin wires cut through flesh, very thick wires, very thick piercings are distributed over enough flesh area that they don't slice through.
Well, your very own PhD in piercing experience right. here.
That was a bit of a tangent. Sorry about that.
I'm sure somebody will find it useful, including me.
Yeah,
there we go. But my original question was, you have such a large variety of cages that you wear. Is if you had one that was your personal favorite?
Oh my God. Well, easily two different ones. Kink 3D, just for, because it's compact and tiny and cheap and actually works and it doesn't fucking split.
Mm-hmm.
We love
them. As far as actual security behind bars, the problem with that is that it's so bulky.
That's the belt, right?
Right, it's the full belts. It's, I don't know if dynamic is the word, but you can like take off the front plate and you can not have the front plate and there's a back thing that you don't need. You just do however you want. But either way, it's very bulky for cycling and dancing and all that kind of shit.
If you weren't being too active, could you in theory wear it for a long period of time? Or like, are there enough hygiene limitations with the behind bars that like, even if you weren't active, you'd have to unlock every couple of days?
So if you have the front plate, well, it depends on what kind of front plate you have. Mm-hmm. So I have the full front plate because I wanted like this medieval thing where like no access, none.
Very occlusive, for, right?
You know, for short scenes, for a day or two. But no, you can't have that on all the time. Without that front plate, there's enough openings where, yeah, you can have it on permanently,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be fine.
No, because
what I really like about the behind bars is that there's no room for erections, so mm-hmm. like it's the easiest one to sleep in because you don't get any ball problems. You know how like the King 3D, the underside of your balls will like sometimes get fucked up.
Yeah.
But behind bars, it's like, you know, there's nowhere to grow, so just nothing happens, which is awesome.
Yeah, that is very hot. I do find that to prevent chafing on the underside of my balls, just a little bit of moisturizer every day, like when I get out of the shower. I use like a coconut-based moisturizer, and that prevents me from getting any chafing.
I've tried pretty much all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think most of that depends upon? I think it depends upon whether you're a grower or a shower.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a grower, it'll pull enough to where there's usually going to be some kind of friction under there. And you can get used to it, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it's tough at first.
Well, interesting.
In my case, I am quite a bit of a grower. I think one aspect is that it also depends on like how hairy you are underneath there. Because if you have a fair amount of hair there, that can sometimes sort of get caught on the ring, and like it as you're growing and pushing it, you know, the ring grinds sort of those hairs into the other side of your scrotum. Yeah. So the smoother you are down there, the less friction and the less chafing.
My dumpling likes hearing that.
I mean, I have no hair, but I got all that lasered off. So,
oh, you got it lasered off?
Yeah, they every single. I mean, for a couple for the first couple of months that I started, after they'd zap you, you're like seriously sunburned all around your balls and your taint. I got the full Brazilian.
Yeah.
And so like you can't really be locked because your skin's healing. And so I'd have to be unlocked for, you know, like 4 days out of the week after getting zapped, which was awful because, you know, it feels like a second skin to me. But now that I don't have hair, I'm always wearing it.
And yeah. I also got laser hair removal from 2020 through 2023. And that, I mean, it took a while, but totally worth it. Like, I mean, it's worth it for me because I'm super into the smooth aesthetic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where did you get laser, Lockfist?
So I got my chest done. I got my armpits done. I got my whole bikini area. And that's
wow,
that's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like
sometimes,
go ahead.
Sometimes I feel like I'm one of very few very hairy chastity enthusiasts online.
Oh my god, no, I love hairy men in chastity. I mean, it's like also harder to maintain just for hygiene for some mm-hmm. people, but like Harry Thonger on Twitter has incredibly sexy femme stuff, and they're, you know, as hairy as a coconut.
Yeah. And then also,
okay, I wrote that down.
Friends of the show, Thumper from the Nine Thumper. He's, you know, very hairy, masculine looking man. Loves being locked, has been locked for the better part of the past, you know, 15 years. Austin Jacobs, friend of the show. He also is a very masculine, sort of hairy guy. Yeah, there's an entire subreddit called like Masculine Male Chastity, which is just
really.
Yeah, which is just an entire subreddit of guys who like have like predominantly masculine, you know, fitting stereotypes, hairy, big, muscular, all that stuff, but locked in chastity. So it's you're not the good news is that you're not alone. There's a lot of people who are hairy and locked and want to be that way. It was just for me that like the aesthetic that I find hottest on myself is smooth himbo locked boy with big fucking piercings.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I've gone for.
So you've had so much experience, I guess, in your teenage 17, 18 years experimenting with toys and then chastity. And then how did that translate into you making content and posting it online?
Okay. Well, I was when I first started recording, I had no intention of uploading it to anybody.
Yeah.
Although going back, you guys had Lord Sharon on.
Uh-huh.
Lord Sharon.
Yes.
I vaguely recall how this went down. I think I posted a photo of myself on Tumblr. I think I was 18, like maybe a day after I had turned 18.
Oh my God.
I was one of the few people doing chastity mm-hmm. stuff back then. So mm-hmm. I think there's a photo of me in a cage and I uploaded it. And then he messaged me. He's like, "Hey, I want to put you in one of my comics." I was like, "Sure, go ahead." What I wasn't expecting is that, you know, because of his aesthetic.
Yes.
He turned me into this twink. Which I've never been. I was a little off put, but I was flattered that he reached out. So that's probably still out there on the internet somewhere on somebody's.
So out of curiosity, seeing yourself photoshopped into this twink shape, how did that make you feel?
I didn't like it.
Dang, you were like Sharonized.
But I mean that's his brand, and yeah. It's not a. Like I find some of his stuff hot, but most of it is not my thing.
Yeah, he has a very specific taste and aesthetic, and he has just leaned into it extremely heavily. And for you know, great for him, and great for the people who find that hot, because you know, especially because when he was starting it, God, 14 years ago, it was impossible to find that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the very few. Going back to Dumpling's question. So I was just recording myself for fun. And then one day I was like, you can get paid on XTube for this. Like, nobody's gonna pay for this. Let's upload. I think I uploaded 5 videos, and they were terrible. Like, I get embarrassed posting them these days, but it's part of the Ricky Cage history. So, you know, they're on all my platforms.
You recorded with like a potato. It was awful lighting.
So bad. So bad. Everything about it was bad. But people paid for it. Like, I got like, I think $45 my first month. What? So I just kept going and kept, you know, getting better and better. That's history, I guess.
I mean, 6 or 7 years ago, I would say when we were still on the Tumblrverse, other than Cage Jock making content and posting it, there weren't many people making locked boy content, like videos. Like, people posted pictures, like headless torsos with dicks, yes, and CB6000s, yes. But no one was making full-on videos consistently, right? It might have been shown up in, you know, heterosexual porn, a heterosexual man with a gigantic cage that didn't fit him, right? This first scene. Oh. You were making content specifically all for Chastity. Why did this kink become central to your content?
Well, like I said, bondage is my favorite thing, so I just gravitate towards Chastity, the ultimate form of bondage. Mm-hmm. But I hate that, by the way. In those old videos and in a lot of new videos, they'll have a caged guy, and the cage is like 3 times bigger than his dick. And then 5 minutes go by and they're like, oh, here, I'll unlock the cage. Why are you unlocking the cage?
Yeah, those earlier videos were rough.
I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. The question was, why? How did like Chastity become a central theme in all of your videos?
Well, that nobody else was doing it was a good hook. That's my advice to like people who want to do porn. Come up, like, if you don't have a hook, a very specific, unique-ish hook. Mm-hmm. That's going to draw people in, you're just going to like get swallowed by the sea of spam.
Yeah.
But I mean, it turned me on. So yeah, easy to do Chastity.
And then a lot of your scenes have these sort of off the wall themes to them. Like, you know, More than just the typical porn parody of like, hey, it's the pizza guy. What led you to, where did you get all the inspiration for these scenarios? What's sort of your process for going like, oh, I need to make a video where I'm getting railed by 14 werewolves?
Yeah. Well, I love satire. So that's satire, like when you copy something and you alter it somehow.
Yeah.
But as far as like writing stuff and coming up with ideas, I think Stephen King had the best advice. You just ask, what if this happened? What if this? So probably my most story-intense video is Cage of Priapus. Is that how you pronounce it? Cage of Priapus. Have you seen this?
I've heard of it. I've heard of it a lot. And I know Priapus is a big theme in a lot of things that are very sexual.
I haven't seen this.
It's a video series called Cage of Priapus.
Okay.
And it's about, this was before AI was even like in the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. It's about robot AI taking over the world and deciding that because humans are happiest during sex, then that must mean that the utopia, the perfect state of the world, is to force everyone to having sex all the time. So it's about, you know, these AI robots who have taken over these, who are these fuck machines, and they just constantly fucking, machine fucking all of humanity forever.
Oh my God. Write that down.
That's not.
Write that down, Lockfist. I'm watching.
So that's not on the free sites. That's me. I also have another one called Lockstock, which is about like, I mean, it's kind of crude, but it's about like modern farm himbo slavery, mm-hmm. sex slavery, but they just like take guys to the farm, fuck them, and they milk them, all that kind of thing.
Do you also?
I love.
Oh, go ahead.
I love world building. I like the implication that my videos have this whole background, behind them, and that there's more to the story. And sometimes there is more to the story. You know, sometimes I make sequels, I make prequels, I make spinoffs.
Do you also write erotic fiction or read erotic fiction a lot?
I see
a smile.
Hot take. Most writers are bad. Most erotica out there is bad. But yes. some of it is really good.
Yes.
And the nice thing about erotica is that it's easier to express weird ideas that would be really hard to get on film.
Yes.
So, oh my God, let me do some shout outs. I have it written down here.
Ooh, for erotica?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, one of my biggest inspirations. Gengoro Tagame.
Oh my God. Best. Love him.
So he's a Japanese artist. He draws like hyper mask guys, lots of fetish stuff, bondage, some chastity actually.
It's new, but yes.
But he's one of my original and most incredible inspirations. He's incredible. I don't know what else to say about that. There is this, I don't know if either of you ever went to this. There's a forum called LockedMen.net.
Yeah.
So you've been there.
I mean, people, it's like the earliest form of like locked people in a community. Mm-hmm.
100% is like the earliest one. And it looks terrible and it works terribly, but there's some really good fiction on there. One of them is Bank Job by Bound Captain. That's the name of the story, Bank Job. And it's about like a guy who signs up for a sperm bank, and then it's a fake evil bonded sperm bank, and they lock him in chastity, and he's machine fucked, and he has to drink everybody's piss. And
oh my God.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So yeah, I've had lots of inspirations from other artists, for sure.
One of the issues I have with erotic fiction these days is there used to be quite a few sites that did a fairly good job of like having a good ratings and search system. So like mm-hmm. a lot of the stories would be tagged, and you know, stories would get upvotes and downvotes and ratings, and so like BDSM Library comes to mind, and Utopia Stories come to mind, and these sites are like no longer functional. Is mm-hmm. like they haven't been updated in years, they no longer work, like the archives are dead. But it used to be that you could search these fairly easily, and you'd be like, I want to like look at chastity and body modification and like anal fisting, and you know, it's like here are the top stories that hit those that have those tags in them. And like the top few were usually pretty good. And then, you know, the next several hundred would just be dredge. But tragically, I feel like most of those sites have died. I feel like I don't have any good ones to go to anymore.
Yeah.
And there's sites that, you know, like Nifty that, you know, have been around for ages and are still uploading new stories, but there's no sort of good search function and no sort of good ranking function. So you're just like browsing through, you know, 100 new stories going like, is this one going to be garbage or is this one going to be the diamond in the rough?
Right. Some of them are still, I mean, it takes a while and you have to hurt your eyes to find it, but I still find some juicy gems in there and Nifty.
I still find some, but what I prefer to do at this point is if I found a good author, yeah, you know, on Nifty,
that too.
I search to see all of the other stuff that author has written. Because, you know, even if it's stuff that's outside of my kink, it's much more likely to be if, you know, they're good at writing one story, they're probably good at writing the others. Whereas even someone who's writing a story that completely aligns with my kink, but does just a terrible job of it, I'm not going to be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hate it when there's a really good story, then you click on the author's name and you want to see what else they wrote. And they've written nothing else.
That I might be guilty of that. I uploaded exactly one story to Nifty back in like 2018 that was fairly good, and then like I uploaded absolutely nothing else.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I've actually, so, sorry, Dumpling.
No,
I've actually been considering, well, I've considered writing erotica, you know, as part of my JFF subscription type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it out there. Also, like audiobook versions of those, I think would be kind of cool. Nobody does that really.
Yeah, there's like, oh, go ahead.
So one of my good friends actually follows a audio streaming platform. Basically, it's people making high quality recordings of situations, and it's like, you know, male for female, male for female, male for, you know, whatever, or just solo. And it's like people talking through these really specific, acting out these very specific, sometimes sexual, sometimes parental, like whatever, you know, floats your boat. But yeah, it exists, but it's not a big market. And I think for our kink, I think we could really capitalize. I think it'd be kind of hot. I think it'd be
right.
Really hot.
It hasn't exploded yet.
Are you talking about Dipsy?
I don't know if it's called Dipsy. I would have to
Dipsy, which is, I've never actually bothered listening to them, but I've heard of them, which is Dipsy is a platform for like audio erotic fiction. Where you can
is it paid?
Know.
Do they charge?
You know, I've never even bothered to check them out. Let's see, going to their website, it says start a free trial, which implies that yes, it is paid.
Yes,
which is
okay,
bullshit.
Cool.
But you know, yeah, no, I would
no,
love,
people deserve to be paid. Ricky's a content creator.
I know. I would love there to be better platforms for erotic fiction out there than currently exist, and you know, that used to exist. And I would love it if there was good audio erotic fiction. I'd be delighted to, you know, like be at the gym listening to a story about a boy getting railed while I'm, you know, doing my squat sets.
That is definitely a void that needs to be filled, because like trying to post audio or words on like fiction on JFF, for example, mm-hmm. there's just the interface just doesn't really support it. It's annoying to do.
You would have to make it on for like Patreon or something, another
right.
kind of like coffee or
yeah,
it's that kind of thing.
Mm. That is frustrating.
Oh, Dumpling, earlier you were talking about like how chastity stuff used to be impossible to find.
Mm-hmm.
But now
used to.
But now
I can't chastity, stop looking. I can't stop seeing it.
Chastity and Pupley are fucking everywhere. Does it feel like, don't cancel me, does it feel blasé to either of you?
So I think it seems like it looks like it's everywhere for us, largely because that's sort of the spaces we've curated for ourselves. Like if I open my Twitter feed, it's going to be just hundreds of boys locked in chastity getting fisted. Because that's what I've carefully curated over the past few years. But if I'm in a bathhouse, even in a major city, like if I go to Steamworks in Chicago, I'm usually one of the only guys there locked in chastity. You know, I was in Steamworks Thursday night. And I went with a friend of mine who was also locked in chastity, and it was packed. First off, it was packed because Thursday nights are when guys, it was February 29th, so guys who under 29 and under got in for free. So just packed. He and I think, were either the only ones locked in chastity, or no, I think the two of us were the only ones there locked in chastity. Out of, you know, I must have seen a good 150, 200 guys there.
Yeah.
So I think it's the curated space that we're in that makes it feel like chastity is everywhere.
You're right. It's overrepresented online. I still have lots of hookups where, you know, they'll see my cage and they'll be like, "What is that? What is it for? I don't understand. Take it off."
Yeah,
that's really funny. It's like going into the extremely rural areas that have been like separated from, you know, centuries regular human culture. And so like they see chastity, like, what is this extreme device of medieval torture, right?
Yeah.
In regards to your question, Ricky, actually, I think that the kind of, you know, interest of chastity, the boom it is now, is not going to last. I think that it's still incredibly exciting for us to have so much, you know, interest spark in the current, you know, past couple of years. I think that people are going to, it's going to normalize, and then people are going to, you know, either keep it or move on. And that's totally awesome and amazing, because what this could mean is that if it becomes a little bit more normalized, I mean, hoping if it does, that means I could go into, you know, a gym and then I'll see someone else with a cage bump too. And it'll be like totally cool and hot.
Yeah.
So I,
so what do you think? What do you think the new fetish is going to be then? If not chastity.
I mean, upcoming, following, like you said, pups are really, I mean, pups have always been big. They'll continue to be big because it's a very good space for nurture. You know, it's a very comforting place for pups. Something that mimics that is ADBL, adult okay. baby diaper lovers. That's a very like parental caring kind of kink space. So that's growing as well. But yeah, those are big right now.
That's kind of interesting that fetish is trending in this
warm way, right?
In this direction of comfort and
healing,
security.
And also like, yeah, and also like for pup and ABDL, it's because it's also blowing up. Is another reason is because we think of kink as something that's inherently sexual, that's always like penetrative, but like these other kind of kinks, they don't always have to be sex. You can have a pup and just play with them, and it doesn't have to be sexy, but it's almost like a healing play space.
See, it used to, like 20, 30 years ago, it was the opposite, where it was not welcoming. It was not comforting. It was cops. It was intimidating masculinity. It was,
I mean, yeah, but we were also very underground, and it was highly, you know, yeah. hard and.
So I'm gonna push back on this, actually, because I disagree. I disagree specifically with a couple of points here. I disagree with Denied Dumplings' hypothesis that we're going to see sort of a peak in chastity and then a little bit of a decline, and then the idea that it's going to get normalized. And I also want to push back on the idea that fetish has always been or has been predominantly been this sort of like dark dungeon-esque. Very penetrative and very sexual and not really caring or psychologically focused. So to break this down, one, I don't think that we're going to see this peak and normalization of chastity, because chastity is still just incredible. Like for us on a chastity podcast, chastity is everywhere. For the vast majority of people, chastity is still niche. Like, I'm sitting here right now in Denied Dumplings' apartment in New York. I can pull up Grindr. I can select the tags, chastity and fist fucking, two kinks that go very well together that appeal very much to me. And I only have to scroll down 15, 16 guys until, and this is in New York, you know, 20 guys until I'm starting to get people who are 28 miles away. So even on Grindr, even in New York City, where you'd expect there to be just a fuck ton of people into this. So I think that chastity is going to be fairly niche and remain fairly niche, even as it is growing in popularity exponentially. Second thing is that, you know, for another episode that we're working on, I've been doing a lot of digging through old leather archives and old archives on sort of the history of kink and the history of fetish. And you go back even into the 60s and 70s and before that, and you get one, a lot of play that is very psychological, very caring focused, very gender norm violating. So sure, there's, you know, the Tom of Finland, police officers and military men who are big and buff and in uniform, but you're also getting like magazines that are catalogs that are filled with like transvestite, that are targeted at transvestites and targeted at men not becoming women but still like wearing feminine coded clothing, or you get a lot of stories of play that's very of role play that's still very sort of nurture focused, like old versions of age play and puppy play and pony play. And even if you're going back to the origins of where we get the word masochism from, if you're reading Leopold von Sacher-Masoch's book, Venus and Furs, That's a very psychological book. There's not a part, you know, it's been a while since I've read it. There's no part where, you know, she puts on a leather cat suit and, you know, chains him down and beats the shit out of him. It's all about how she is his, she's her, she's his, mistress and, you know, ruler, but also sort of this very caring maternal figure. So I know that's quite a bit of a tangent, but I disagree here with Nye Dumpling's assessment on both the history of kink in general and in where chastity is going specifically.
That was an interesting conversation, and I have like stuff to say about it. It's just completely unrelated to me to this. So yeah.
Actually, you know what? Let's talk about it for just a little bit.
Why don't you respond to that? Why don't you
Let's have a 5 minute tangent. Okay. Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. So you're right. You're right about the 60s thing. So what happened is that there was a shift among queer people because you know their rights were being oppressed. So they were like, you know, we can't be associated as these effeminate people, as these fags, all that kind of thing. So let's get hyper masculine so that we're not like those gays. We're not like those gays. We're normal, you know? It's that kind of thing that created that 70s and 80s hyper masculinity, toxicity, I guess.
I mean, I'd still to push back on that a little bit, there's always been sort of these two current, I mean, to really simplify, to reduce things to way too simple of a history, there's always been those two currents. There's always been within queer culture the hyper masculine, we should normalize with the straights view. And there should be the very queer counterculture. Look, being queer is specifically being in opposition to the heteronormative narrative. And so, like, if you go back to the Mattachine Society back in 1950, right? That was an early national gay rights organization that was basically the log cabin Republicans of their time, right? You know, they tried to keep themselves, you know, well, we're not about sex and we're not about being queer. We wear suits and you know, we code very straight. We're just asking for basic gay rights, right? You know, we're not like those queers. Whereas, you know, with the Stonewall protest, the people having the Stonewall riots, that very much was those queers. You know, the first brick was thrown by a black transgender person, right? From the 1950s through today, there has definitely been a very strong narrative of let's be masculine and sticking to this heteronormative character, and you know, our tops should be big, muscular, hairy men, and our bottoms should be effeminate, locked boys. But there's at the same time as there's been that current, there has been this other current on the opposite side of the spectrum, which says all of that normative bullshit is nonsense. Let's play with it and go counter to it as much as possible.
A lot of my content is, I'm like attracted to subversion and being devil's advocate a little bit. So, yeah, like anything I see that I could like see the other way, I try to like do the opposite in my videos sometimes. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No,
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 you do. You
I
actually
totally
have
get it.
some really. Did you have a video for both liberals and not liberal? Well, liberals and conservatives, or was it Democrats and
Oh my
Republicans?
God. So I have a video where I'm like celebrating that Biden won, and I'm like pretending that he's fucking me. I forget what I was
Oh
doing.
my
Anyway,
God.
dude, I'm weird. But I also I think this was prior to the January 6th insurrection here in the U.S. I saw the Proud Boys like being fucking stupid, so I made a satire video about I'm a Proud Boy. This is what Proud Boys actually believe, and blah 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 blah. I wasn't expecting that they would fucking try to commit treason and all this shit. So that has been a popular video of mine. People are turned on by these by bigotry, I guess, and homophobia. I mean, I kind of get it. I like being spit on and called a faggot, you know, but in a fantasy setting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Me too.
Those videos are very fun to make, but I don't want that to become my brand. I don't want to be the gay porn star wearing the MAGA hat, you know.
Well, I mean, a lot of people post extremely problematic things. I mean, I'm not going to say intentionally, but intentionally. Do you think that you were doing it with the intention, like you making this content with the intention to make satirical comedic content, or were you doing it because you wanted the views?
Oh, satire. It's never about the views for me. You mentioned like Fucked by 14 Werewolves. That's one of my least popular videos, and it has this cult following. But my popular videos are tech support. It's the incest stuff. I'm not into incest at all. It's
Oh, but you played it so well.
If I pay attention to views, I'll drive myself fucking crazy and I'll start to hate my job.
Oh.
Yeah. It's always the videos I put the least effort into that end up with the most hits and reactions, to be honest.
So many of your videos have the same theme of you visibly fucked, you know, eyes rolling into the back of your head, eyes glazed over, mouth slime trailing down your neck. And you're always locked, of course, squirting everywhere. So in all of your videos, you're being fucked by a machine. You're in chastity. I'm sensing there's like a very strong connection or kink towards technology-based reprogramming and forcing your holes to accommodate dildos.
No. So, but I have limited experience with this. So there's robot fetish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what they're called, but okay. I've had DMs from people who are like, you know, I'm into androids basically, and they want me to pretend to be an android in a video, and I'm sure that will happen eventually. But no, I don't really fetishize robots or electronics yet. it started out. Well, I guess it is a necessity because I live in a small town. We're a blue state, but it's very, very conservative here. Actually,
oh,
you can't get people to sign papers here, really. So that's why most of my content is solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really hard to find co-performers. I'm intensely jealous of, you know, people in LA and New York who can just walk outside and be like, "Hey, want to do OnlyFans with me?" And you'll just get people run into your house. But it doesn't happen here.
Ricky, I have so many more questions, but I think we're going to take a minute to have a word from our sponsors. So we'll be right back.
Deny Dumpling, you're a permalock sub. What cage are you locked in right now?
I'm wearing the pink Kink 3D Cobra N with a size 1 curved ring. It's incredibly comfortable and currently my favorite cage. How about you, Lockfist?
I have the black Kink 3D Cobra S extra wide because I am extra thick with a size 2 and size 3 curved rings. It's also my favorite non-metal cage.
Getting the fit right can be pretty annoying for chastity play. So part of what makes Kink 3D so great is their interchangeable parts. Any size cage fits on any base ring, so you can make adjustments as your chastity journey evolves.
That's right. Also, they provide live fittings at stores like Mr. S Leather in San Francisco,
Leatherman in New York City,
and at various kink events all around the world, like Claw in Cleveland,
International Mr. Leather in Chicago,
Kink Down South in Atlanta,
Dory Alley and Folsom Street Fair, and so much more.
So if you're curious about chastity and are going to be in one of those cities or at one of those events, you can get fitted for a cage.
And you can listen to our season 1 episode, The Right Cage Is Out There, on how to measure yourself for a cage before getting your own.
These cages are extremely well made, they're comfortable, durable, and easy to clean. Definitely my first choice for anyone getting into chastity.
You can buy these cages on kink3d.com.
There's also a subreddit, r/kink3d exchange, where people sell or exchange their gently used cages and rings.
So what are you waiting for? Get locked today with Kink 3D. And we are back. Ricky Cage, you mentioned that, you know, because you live in a small town, it's so hard for people to sign off, which is so important for sexual content, and you need, you know, their approval. A lot of the videos that you have are basically, you know, you doing solo work. One of the big things that you do very often is actually training yourself to suck dick in your dildos.
Yeah.
It's like a blowjob trainer where, what, did you have a little like clicker and you had to move your head towards it? Did you do that one?
Oh, that's advanced. So the first video I ever made was a dildo attached to a chair. That was just giving it a blowjob. But I think what gave me the idea is this very, very, very ancient software called Self-Bondage Blowjob Trainer. Self-Bondage Blowjob Trainer. It's on a very old bondage forum. I'd be shocked if it still worked. And what it would do is you set up your camera, your webcam, and you point it at the dildo, and then the software tracks whether you suck it or not, however many times, and you have to like complete a quota. So that idea was really hot to me. And the software sort of worked.
Sort of worked.
Yeah, so I guess that's what got that started. And maybe it inspired some of the AI robot type stuff I'd done.
So speaking of being in sort of a small town and doing everything in a homemade manner, one of the most standout facts about your content is that it all has this very clear amateurish homemade theme to it. You know, you can tell in all the fantasy scenarios that it's clearly your room, you know, restraint systems with rope and household objects, your furniture. Do you intentionally make your content with the intention for it to be amateur and homemade?
No. I wish. So some of my favorite porn is like Fallen Angel by Titan Media. It used to be a huge studio. You know, they had huge budgets, amazing sets, like costume designers, prop designers. I wish I had those resources. I just don't. I never did. I'm not a good illustrator. I'm not good at costuming. I can barely decorate my apartment, as you guys can see. That's not my thing. I would love to get better at it.
No, we're not reading your work. I love how homemade it is.
By the way, I'm looking at Denied Dumplings video feed right now, and he has a fuck machine just like chilling out in the background.
Yeah, I sure do.
I love it.
Yes, all my toys are on a kitchen grade shelf, the wire racks for, you know, putting all your tools. Yep. It's pretty good for drying. So I just want to say, recently you posted a picture of your dick. I'm extremely surprised to find out, Ricky, you're actually quite hung.
Yeah, I'm big. Yeah. I don't usually have my dick out for videos.
So do you enjoy stroking? Are you actually kind of very naughty in that sense? Or you like to...
I jack off sometimes, but I'm... much prefer to be in full bondage and being edged for 48 to 72 hours straight.
Oh my god.
That's how I like my dick to get used. I have neighbors, sorry.
So when just to clarify here, when you say edging, do you mean like you like to be tied down and having someone stroking your cock but not letting you come? Or do you mean that you like the mental aspect of not being allowed to come, like being locked in chastity, and you're considering that edging?
Oh, I mean literal edging where
they're
stroking your dick.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to come.
And out of curiosity, do you top at all? Do you like being a service top, for instance? Or
yes. So that is my thing. If I'm gonna top, I'm gonna be a service top. I was at a gangbang here. I guess it was more of an orgy. stuff does happen here sometimes. Allegedly. So there was a sling. There was a sling. And they put me in full bondage. They locked me to the sling. Mm-hmm. And I had a hood on, so I couldn't see who I was fucking. But they were forcing me to fuck guys in the sling. And that was hot as hell.
That's
so
very
romantic.
Now, do you dom at all, or do you find yourself completely on the submissive side of the spectrum?
I'm a very good dom. I don't like doming. But I think every sub is good at doming because the subs know what the subs want.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very,
I just want to say
true.
That I just want to say that doming, it's all hard. Subbing and doming are both hard. But doming is it's really hard to do well.
Yes.
You need to be well informed about the interests of whoever you're playing off of for you both to get the most out of it, for sure. I love that you're a service top, even outside of chastity. That makes me feel like you're like total sub both ways, and it's kind of super endearing.
So another cool scene I had, not a videotape scene, a hookup. Mm-hmm. I attached a dildo to the front shield of my behind bars belt, and I fucked the hottest guy for like an hour or two.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
I like doing that. I like doing that.
Do you fist at all as well? Are you into the fisting scene?
I have never gotten fisted.
Really?
Your hole can take it. Your hole can take it.
I think it could. I'm just not. I'm. It fisting does not turn me off, but I've never gravitated towards it. I think I just like the shape of a dick, to be honest.
All right. So,
but, hey, hey.
We're flying Ricky out. We're turning him out.
I mean, look, if he doesn't find fists attractive, you know, then he doesn't. Like, there's plenty of guys out there.
No, 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 no.
There are plenty of guys out there.
I am begging you to.
You're begging us to fist you.
I'm begging you to indoctrinate me into the fisting lifestyle.
Begging. Begging.
Well, then you absolutely need to come to New York or Chicago sometime. If you're in Chicago, check out the mafia parties. If you're in New York, check out the manhole parties. There's some great fisting scenes here in the lower 48, here in the continental U.S.
I do have a short question.
Go for it.
Is there anything in particular about a fist in particular that turns you on? As opposed to like a dildo. To a huge oversized dildo.
So
what is it about the fist?
For not initially, the wires have now been crossed in my head where like, yeah, good fist does turn me on by itself. But you know, 10, 15 years ago, no, fisting didn't appeal to me. Even watching fisting porn didn't do anything for me. It was a sort of gradual thing where, you know, I was playing blocked up, I was playing with larger and larger toys. And was like, oh, this feels really fucking good. And then taking a fist felt really good. And the nice thing about a fist as opposed to a toy is that it's prehensile. You know, you can move the fingers around. You can vibrate the fist fairly easily. You can enlarge it or shrink it by, you know, clenching or changing your fist shape in a way that you can't with toys. And so you can do a lot of fun stuff as a fisting top, experience a lot of stuff as a fisting bottom that's just not possible with dildos. And so now, having experienced all of that and done all of that, now fists turn me the fuck on. But prior to having experienced that, they didn't really.
Now that you mentioned this, I used to not be into anal, like at all.
Yeah.
Like as a late teen.
Could have fooled me.
as like 18, 19, 20, I was only into oral stuff, and anal was like, huh?
Yeah.
But you know, after I tried it, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Oh,
it was similar to me. For like the longest time, I was mostly a dom top, and I just didn't enjoy bottoming. Like, dicks didn't feel good, didn't hit the right places, didn't. And it was more getting into chastity and starting to ride toys and riding progressively bigger toys that I found oh, this is where it can feel amazing. And
Yeah.
so, like, now I love getting fisted and I love getting fucked. But getting fucked is more of a side dish or an appetizer to me than the full entree. The main dish that I look forward to is taking the fists. Yeah.
It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. Yeah, I mean, even for myself, I was very apprehensive about fisting and harder things like that. And you, even watching the porn, I'd be like, this is like it's me watching someone put their hand into like a meat bag. It's there. You have to live the experience, know how it feels like, know how amazing, incredible, feeling every finger, feeling the knuckle, feeling the fat of the wrist. And then when you watch the porn, it gives you a new dimension and it informs you of what you're actually watching and how good it must feel for them. Highly recommend. I think it's naturally in your future for your progression. But what's curious to know, what's some content that does turn you on and is really hot and interesting to you right now?
Oh man, for some reason I've been getting really into piss lately. Water sports. There's that. I think they're Chinese. Shangguan Lin on Twitter. I'm
Oh
not
my God,
calling it.
he like ties people up and then they're all like forced to drink piss, right?
Yes,
Yes.
but it's like really intense. They're like shackled underground, and then
Completely
the.
bound, completely restrained.
And then the troughs is connected to their mouth
Urinal.
gag, and they're forced to drink everybody's piss for the rest of their life. Anyway, so that's my job goal. I'm gonna try to shift to that job where I just drink piss.
I don't think they're paid, Ricky.
Oh,
You're like,
another
I
one
don't need to be paid. I
is
just need to be kept alive.
another one I really like, and he's. Okay, these are both super underrated content creators. Mindfuck without the I, M and the, well, something like that. Anyway, Mindfuck. He's on JFF, he's on Twitter. He does hypnosis type stuff. He is so hot. He's gonna blow up eventually. More than he already has. I did He did, yeah, he made a hypno file for me that I put in a video, and then I released the video with the hypno file while I was getting machine fucked, I think, probably. Anyway, he's super hot. He has really weird content. I love his stuff. The other underrated dude is Popper's. I think it's
Popper's God?
Popper's God on Twitter.
Yes, his
And
name's
then
like
he.
Sir William, right?
Yes. It's doing good verbal is really tough. He is like a natural at verbal, and I'm not into poppers at all. And all of his edging stuff is like, well, his jack off stuff is not very relevant to me because I'm locked up so often. But he'll do those chastity sub Wednesday videos where he's He determines how long his subs are going to be locked for. That's hot.
I've seen some of Mindfuck stuff before. He's MNDFCUK. He switches the C and the U
Okay.
around. I've tried dabbling a little bit in hypnosis play. Have you been getting into hypnosis recently?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been into hypnosis for a long time.
Oh, tell me more about your hypnosis kink, how you got into it, and what it does for
Didn't
you.
Ricky just say he wasn't suggestible?
I'm not suggestible. So there's this old site. It's still up. It's called warpmymind.com.
I'm familiar with it. Yeah, it's got a lot of like hypnosis tracks on it. Yep.
And honestly, a lot of it is bad, like not high quality stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what got me started. And then I started making my own. Like I said, I make it as a fantasy thing because it doesn't work on me. And if it works on anyone out there, you're welcome.
Do you
wish it works on me.
Do you enjoy popper training videos?
No, I don't do poppers. I don't do poppers.
Oh, okay. Because I'm big into popper trainer videos. Like, I love like good compilation porn videos that have like well-timed popper hits in them. And there's sort of a large overlap between the popper training community and the hypnosis community. And so I was like, I should be able to get into hypnosis. And I've tried and I just can't. Like, conceptually it's hot, but just listening to the audio tracks, I'm like, this is dumb. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't make the necessary mental connections to make it work for me.
Yeah, either the consumer is able to suspend their disbelief about media, or they're not. Dumpling was talking about my amateur sets, and like he's right. It looks, you know, it's my bedroom,
right.
But if certain elements are there, the audience is able to suspend their disbelief.
The special effects.
Obviously that's going to depend on the person, like whether they're able to suspend.
If I'm clicking on your video for Ash Ketchum, I want to see Ash Ketchum getting railed. I'm going to suspend that disbelief. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's not a big ask. People want to be turned on. They want to be entertained. Mm-hmm. I've been like shocked at how amazing the sex community is and the kink community is.
Yeah, you're not the only pervert here.
So you're on Just for Fans. Mm-hmm. You're not a big fan of OnlyFans. Can you tell us a little bit about why you're not a big fan of OnlyFans?
Oh shit. Well, God. OnlyFans tried to shut all sex workers down like what, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
But that's not even shocking anymore because, you know, Tumblr's gone, XTube is gone.
Tell our listeners more about that, because I actually don't know about this. Tell me more.
About OnlyFans in particular?
Well, what did they try to do?
Oh.
Have you not heard this?
I live under a rock. I don't live under a rock.
So they never announced it in an official capacity, but they were going to say, oh, no nudity anymore. No 18 plus content, which is fucking hilarious because 99.9% of their revenue is from the sex workers on there. It's just so funny because if you go on the front page of OnlyFans every day, it's always like women with gigantic cleavage making a margarita, and that's what OnlyFans thinks is not sex work. I don't know what they were thinking, why they were trying to get rid of sex workers. Yeah, it's just so stupid. But that's not the shocking part of it. The shocking part of it is their weird rules. Mm-hmm. Is their weird rules. So for hold on. I literally have the list of. So because I'm like multi-platform, yeah. I have a website rules cheat sheet, and it just tells me what is not allowed on specific platforms. I have to edit my videos because my videos are, you know, extra. Mm-hmm. I have to edit them for each platform depending on what each platform accepts. So here's what is not allowed on OnlyFans. No horse dicks, which is a scandal.
Horse, like horse sticks?
Like the dildos, no horse, like dicks. Horse-shaped dildos.
Oh, horse dick. I was thinking like, okay, never mind.
Like, you can't get fucked by a Seabiscuit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that actually extends to any fantasy dildo if it looks too weird. It doesn't matter if it's silicone. I guess OnlyFans cannot differentiate whether it's silicone or whether it's like attached to a real horse. They won't let you post that. No, like simulated incest. And Pornhub has that same rule, which is funny because Pornhub's front page is all incest. Because that's the thing for straights right now, I think, is incest porn. That's like the most popular category. And Pornhub, they make most of their money off of that. But it's against their rules, officially.
Wait. So what about like stepbrother, stepsister stuff? Does that like not count as incest because they're not technically related?
I couldn't tell you.
Is that why all of the porn is, it's my stepmom or my stepsister?
Right. That's probably part of them trying to avoid that rule.
Okay.
But the rules are so bendy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the videos get removed or not is almost random. It's ridiculous. So OnlyFans also has no hypnosis. No hardcore bondage. So they'll let you, they're very specific about this. They'll let you have three limbs bound. If you bind a fourth limb on OnlyFans, no. Down. That's not allowed. They don't allow piss. And they don't allow menstruation depiction. Interesting. No hate speech.
Okay.
Which sucks for me because I do satirical hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do in context hate speech.
Right.
But platforms don't want to, I guess, moderate that because it would be complicated, right?
Don't they also ban fisting?
Yes. So this is the most shocking one of all.
Yeah.
So I've noticed over the years, they have hired someone to measure the size of your gape.
Yep.
And if your gape is too big,
they don't allow it.
Down. I want to know how many inches circumference is too big. They won't say. But that is an actual thing. And that someone is actually digging my videos and everybody's videos to look at the gapes and see how big it is. That's so ridiculous to me.
You know that there is someone, some gape fetishist, who successfully managed to pitch this job role to OnlyFans, being like, you know what we really need? We need someone to look at every single gape out there and make sure it's the right size. It'll be
a tough job.
This
is the greatest theory I've heard.
We'll have to spend like $500,000 a year to hire this person, and it'll be a really tough, extensive job search. I volunteer to lead the job search. And then 6 months later, I could only find one person willing and brave enough to take this job. It's me, but you'd have to pay me $1 million a year. And then there's that guy works for OnlyFans, gets paid $1 million a year, and is just looking at gapes all day and living the dream.
That has to be the truth because that's the only thing that makes sense.
That's why
I think it's AI. It has to be AI. Yeah.
I mean, did I downplay?
I think you're right about the AI thing.
Did I downplay? Like, I don't know why you're surprised by any of this because you used to have an OnlyFans, and I remember
I haven't been very active at all on it. I don't know these new rules.
No, but these aren't even new rules. Like, I remember you and I did a scene 4 years ago for your OnlyFans, 5 years ago.
Yeah, ages they took ago it down because OnlyFans. Of fisting. Yeah,
it was a hot scene, but they took it down because of fisting. Like, you know that they have very stupid rules that make it an unworkable platform, which is one of the reasons why you don't post anything on there.
Yeah, mostly just for fam.
The too long didn't listen is that they're just very hostile toward sex workers, and I'm sick of having to censor 50% of my content that I'm charging people for.
Right.
And they don't even get to see the real content.
So then in your opinion, which platform, having done extensive research now on all the platforms and their different rules, which is the best or at least the least worst platform?
JFF.
JFF?
But yeah, JFF, but that's not saying much. I encourage people to put your eggs in multiple baskets because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the incitification of the internet, it'll come for your platform eventually.
Yep.
So especially for sex workers, be ready to jump.
Yeah. I learned that lesson with XTube. I had a great little amateur XTube channel where I didn't back anything up and like I didn't, you know, have myself verified on it. And then, you know, one morning it was just gone. I was like, well, fuck.
Man.
Yeah.
some of the hottest content ever is on XTube and Tumblr, and so much of it is just permanently gone.
Yeah.
And
it's disappeared. Depressing. Yeah.
Mm. I feel lied to by the previous generation that had always told us that, oh, once you put something online, it's online forever. Nope. Mm-mm. All of the good You're stuff right. I want, all of the good stuff I want is completely gone. I still, in summer of 2019, I got double fisted in the middle of the streets of Nori Alley, and I was bound up, and I saw multiple people filming it. And I know the exact time and location of when this was happening. And I've not been able to find a single video of it. So the next time that I got
uploaded.
The next time that I got double fisted in Dory Alley, I made sure that like I had a friend who was filming it. And so I've got a copy of that now. But from the 2019 one, no clue. Completely lost the ether. All right.
Especially if you're monetizing your videos, do backups, including cloud backups.
Yeah, I've never monetized any of my video content. If I was, I'd be much more upset about it. But yeah, and I probably just never will because it just seems like way too much work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's. I mean, just doing the podcast is a lot of work, and that's relatively easy compared to what all the Just for Fans producers go through. All right. I think that covers most of the stuff we wanted to ask for this episode. Ricky, do you have any questions that you want to ask us? Anything you're curious about?
Okay. I have a question for you.
All right.
Okay.
Here's the question. If you each were to commission a video from me with infinite budgets, and just anything you wanted, like your custom video.
Ooh.
What video would you want Ricky Cage to make for you?
Okay.
And you can be as detailed as you want to be.
So I'm going to throw out almost all of the laws of like physics and time on this one.
Oh no, here we go.
I want to see a video of you being slowly modified from your current state into like a permanently bound, fucked up slave. So like we started the progression with just you, and then over time we see your nipples get pierced, your cock get pierced, get locked into a permanent inescapable cage. Because my aesthetic is laser smooth slave boys, body hair just lasered off, and then like by the end of it you're just like this gimp hooded collared with big fucking nipple rings, locked in a chassis cage, just getting railed by machines with some sort of like AI dom overlord narrative throughout this whole thing that's controlling you every step of the way, forcing you through this process. Maybe it could be some sort of like assembly line thing, like
Ricky is grinning ear to ear.
Like this assembly line thing, like, you know how like sort of like the entry to like a car wash, but like the machine arms come out and they grab you, and then, you know, they strip off your body hair and they pierce you and they pierce your cock and they lock you in the cage and they hood you and they just bend you over and start ramming you full of cock. That's, there it is. What about you?
I feel like I'm red right now.
Then I definitely, what have you got?
So that's a very hot fantasy. I love that a lot. I want that to happen to me almost. I've been really getting into this new artist. He is online as Freebo23, F-R-E-E-B-O-23. Freebo23 is a artist. He makes comics, and in his world, he loves like dads and their sons in this like incestual playground. And so it's like a lot of strapping young stallions with, you know, great libido, loving on these, they're usually larger, bearish men, and they're like hairy. Some of them are balding, but it like Freebo draws them in a very like appealing light. They're very sexy, voluptuous men. But one of my favorite stories from him is called Dr. Hoover's Lab, a trilogy. And in this lab, basically, this doctor, Dr. Hoover, makes Dadvil, you know, Dad Advil. And basically, it's like this, you know, amazing miracle drug. But the only way to make it is you need to get like nut from dads. And so he has this massive scheme. He steals all the hot dads in the vicinity, and he like tests on them on how to like extract their cum. And basically, he, you know, he gets them up on suggestible drugs. He ties them up. He works their holes, shaves them down. Some of them he puts in chastity cages. But it's basically like actually kind of similar to Locked Fist. Robots are coming in, taking these big juicy men. And I would love for you to be someone who is just basically forced, restrained by these robots, and then fucked until you basically come a steady stream. And the thing about it is they give the Dadvil to the men so that they have like huge, like never ending cum production. And then that's what's being harvested to make more Dadvil. So you would just become a milking animal. I think it'd be kind of hot.
That's a really hot one too. I do like milking fetish and milking fantasy. But have either of you actually been like tied down and milked a lot before?
I have. The one problem for me is once I've come, the refractory period kicks in so hard. And so like a good milking scene, the only way to make it work is to be edged for a long period of time and for all of the orgasms to be like ruined orgasms that don't trigger the refractory period. Because once the refractory period triggers, the game's over.
I have an extreme refractory period too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And once I come, unless there's like military grade steel like holding me down somehow, I am going to get out and kick your ass if you keep stroking my dick. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's the trouble with milking scenes. Like milking is such a hot fantasy, but the refractory period is just such a, it just ruins it. it's why I love chastity play so much, is that I can be, you know, locked and fucked to anal orgasm after anal orgasm and never have to experience that refractory period. That's a dream.
I don't know what coming is. What is milking? Is that coming?
you liar. You came during like a month ago.
Well, yeah, but like milking, a true milking, I can't really be milked very easily because ever since my longest lockup, my dick has never been the same. I can't, like, my threshold for coming is too easy. It's very hard for me to be edged. I go from 60 to 100 without any control. And so it's actually kind of scary mentally to be edged because I could come in the first 5 minutes accidentally and I can't protect myself from that. But prior to that, my first 127 day lockup, my master, previously my sir, Sir CJ, he edged me for like 30 minutes. And by the end of it, I was like pissing cum. It was crazy when I finally hit the orgasm. That's my most memorable orgasm to date. But I think that's our time for today. Ricky, thank you so much for joining us. Where can our listeners find you if they wanted to search up more of your content?
So I'm on Just for Fans, Ricky Cage XXX, and on Twitter, Ricky Cage XXX. And if you want censored, lower quality porn of me, I'm also on OnlyFans. Yeah, I'm out there. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Do you have any upcoming projects you'd like to pitch?
Yes. Oh my god. I'm gonna spoil it a little bit. Spoil it.
Go for
just
it.
For you guys.
Oh, special just cut for all our listeners.
Yeah, you're special. So my next project is called Oblivion.
Ooh.
And it's about, I don't want to spoil too much. It's a depiction of hell.
Ooh.
It's a depiction of hell.
Mm-hmm.
With multiple levels, and stuff will happen to those unlucky enough to find themselves in hell. So that's what Oblivion is about.
I'm excited. I just got chills.
And the next one is the one after that. Because people have been begging for it, and I feel so bad because it's been years. I think it's been years. Fucked by 14 Werewolves Act 2.
Act 2!
It continues. The sequel. The finale.
Finale?
So that there's only two acts. Unless.
3 years later, we're at Fucked by 14 Werewolves, Part 5 of the trilogy.
Backdoor sluts.
Oh my god, so exciting.
All right. That's our show, Ricky. Thank you so much. And as our guest, why don't you close us off?
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Stay locked.
And until next time, stay locked.
And until next time, stay locked.
Hey. Yes, there we go.
All right, nice.
Your dick shouldn't be unprotected. It belongs in a cage.